Genesis chapter 18, verse 13. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? If the promise to Abraham was met by the laughter of unbelief that at 90 she would have a son, so appropriately the promise of the birth of the last prophet was met by the unbelief of an aged father. Sarah laughed, and God gave Zechariah a non-functioning mouth." Names mean something, or at least they should. Names of the newborn at Parkview Hospital, as they revolve on the marquee above the AutoZone store on North Clinton, are alphabetic conglomerations about which St. Paul may have spoken when he said that such things eye has not seen nor ear heard. These names rarely have any meaning and recall no one living or dead. So the son Sarah believed she could not have was called Isaac. This means laughter, a stinging rebuke of her unbelief, which is faith's faithful companion. Isaac could also be a preaching of the gospel, in that God accomplishes the impossible by turning our unbelief into faith. But Isaac might have nothing to do with long gospel, because laughter is what God is all about. Faced with our unbelief, God has the last laugh. And that's what Christianity is all about, at least according to the introit for next Sunday. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I am not sure that any sermon about rejoicing ever makes anybody happy. At least they rarely produce that celestial hilarity of the angels that rocks with the roaring laughter, the triumphant roaring laughter over God's overcoming our invincible unbelief. If a good belly laugh has no place in your faith and piety, it did for Johann Sebastian Bach, who was much a Lutheran as Luther was, and perhaps a better one. His cantata for Easter says it all. Die Himmel lachet, the heavens laugh. His Christmas cantata is entitled Unser Mund sei voll Lachens. It's taken from Psalm 125, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, our mouth was filled with laughter. What we think God cannot do, he does. And there's a good laugh all around. God imposed silence on an old man was a 9-month-long sermon without words. Its theme was this: God will not be mocked by our lack of faith. Before we live, God creates. Before we sin, he redeems. And before we believe, he justifies. God is always one step ahead of the game. Overcoming unbelief is what God is all about. So appropriately, the child of the aged couple is named John, the child who is the gift of God. Since Zechariah did not believe, he had nothing to do with it. The definition of a sacrament is verbum accedit ad elementum et fit sacramentum. The word comes to the element and it becomes a sacrament. The lifeless elements were the aged bodies of Zechariah and Elizabeth, to which the word of God came, and she conceived the greatest of the prophets. It was a creatio ex nihilo. The God who created out of nothing has less of a challenge in restoring reproductively dead bodies. The Reformed teach that the saints never fall from grace. But of course they do. Get a Bible. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Samson, Samuel, David, Solomon. We're off and on believers and unbelievers. Luke says Zechariah was a righteous man, but he was not so righteous that he believed what God promised. If the one rhythm of the scriptures is law and gospel, the equally existential rhythm is unbelief and belief. Faith in unbelief is an up and down torture from which God provides relief only at death. John followed in the footsteps of his father Zechariah as an unbeliever and believer. Apples rarely fall far from the tree, unless, of course, the tree is on a hill. Like us all, he was caught in the yin and yang of belief and unbelief. John's remarkable homiletic popularity, about which Dr. Just reminded us on Tuesday, was rewarded with incarceration that led John to doubt that Jesus was really the Christ about whom he preached. And in asking for relief, all John got was a Bible passage. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. The greatest work of God is not creating new life from dead wombs or calling lifeless body out of cold tombs, but the preaching of the gospel to the poor is God's greatest work. Even Jesus said that even the return of a dead man from the grave would not create faith. Faith only happens when the poor have the good news preached to them, and with that we also will have to be content. From John's mouth, every prophet, from Moses to Malachi, spoke what they could only imperfectly imagine with the eyes of faith, John saw. His birth was the first page of the last chapter of the Old Testament. John supplied the open-ended questions of the prophets. John forever hermeneutically adjusted the Old Testament so that it never could be the same kind of book it once was. They preached Christ, but John preached that Jesus was the Christ. Unless one sees Christ in every word of the Old Testament, one does not understand anything. Over such eyes hangs the veil of Moses. The evangelist Mark had a premonition that the church, in putting John on the scales of the law and the gospel, that John would be heavier on the law side and light on the gospel. So Mark took Matthew's summary statement of John's preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens that is at hand," and by rephrasing it, he explained it. Repent and believe the gospel. The call to repentance is nothing else that we should believe that Jesus is the Christ. And when John was born, his father made this crystal clear: "You, child, will give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins." And all this will happen through the tender mercy of our God. John means gift. And gift is nothing more and nothing less than what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said about Jesus. Jesus is the content of what they wrote, and he was the words themselves. But before Jesus preached the gospel and the evangelists record it, John had the honor of preaching it first. Hence, of those born of women, none is greater than John. But Jesus adds these words: "He who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." Of course, Jesus was speaking about himself. But John's coming in second is not all that bad. We just hope to place, and considering what God has to overcome in us, that's not too bad. We sing the song of Zechariah.